Hey, this is Brian Jum. Welcome to the SAI Million Dollar PDR Podcast. We go over actionable tips that have served my business well over the last 30 years, and hopefully they'll be beneficial to you too. Hey, what's going on, party people? This is Brian Jump. I apologize for the audio if it doesn't sound very good. I didn't bring my Dentco Studios professional microphone with me. I'm basically just using a laptop mic. So if it sounds like I'm talking through a Campbell soup can, you now know why. Actually, we're recording this on Thursday, April 4th. I'll release this on the 5th. So we are back in the BR. We are back in Baton Rouge. And yes, you guessed it right. If you're a longtime listener, we are back here for LSU baseball, Tigers baseball. First game will be tonight, followed by Friday, then Saturday. We believe Junior will be pitching Friday night to start. So God willing, everything works out. He'll get that opportunity. God willing, hopefully LSU actually gets a dub. We need it. We need it bad. They've lost their last four straight. So, and the last one was not good. So it's kind of a mental, I think it's not even kind of, it's totally a mental thing. If you want to win in anything, if you got your mind straight, you're 80% of the way there. Like Yogi Berra would say, famous former baseball catcher for the New York Yankees, you know, hitting or baseball is 80% mental. The other half is physical or something, he would say, which made no sense. But it does make sense because, and I might have butchered that, but he basically is saying it's all mental. And that it is. It pretty much is. I mean, yeah, you have to have a body. You have to be physical. But at the end of the day, if you got your mind squared away, you're going to win a lot of things in a lot of manners. So anyway, we can review. We've been busy. Well, busy is all get up. We've had, luckily, knock on wood, say a prayer, whatever you'd like to do. We are have more business than we can deal with, which is good. Good marketing. It can always be better. We can always have the better customers come that want to pay the most money and, you know, least amount of time, I guess, you know, less friction, if you will. We kind of want to stay in our lane. We don't like to do complete paints. We don't like to do touch-ups, you know, small dents that people want think that they, you know, are super cheap, you know, $50 or something. That's not our wheelhouse. You know, we need margin, we need profit, and we need a little bit of volume. And you know, when you have a lot of customers coming in, you can be picky. And I'll get into the pros and cons. We're going to talk about pricing primarily in this estimate or this estimate. See, that's how busy we've been. I'm just thinking estimates right now in this episode. But anyway, back to BR. Beautiful weather. If you were here, you beautiful, expansive green trees overarching the, you know, the. You can't sometimes, you can walk down a street and you can't even see the sky. There's just so much trees. Nice southern charm. The people in general are pretty nice. So if you ever get a chance to get out here, especially in the spring. Summer, I hear it's really hot. I don't know if we'll be out here in the summer, but spring season is baseball season. Hence the reason the Jump family is here again. But anywho, but yeah, so back to business. Out of our mind. Yeah, busy. And how? For those of you that aren't, let's just say you're listening to this episode and you're like, man, you know, I'm not out of my mind busy, Brian. I'm out of my mind, but for other reasons. Okay, I can't help you with that, but this is about marketing, not mental well-being. That's a different podcast. And but if you do have those issues, please go get that rectified because that's important. You know, our minds and our bodies need to be, you know, what do we say? Our body is our temple, you know, and so take care of it immensely. It's the number one priority you have, obviously, to yourself. But anyway, marketing, that's how we're doing it. Good marketing. Specifically, you might want to say, okay, I'll be glad to answer that question, Jimmy. Multi-channel, not just online. You know, you might be thinking, oh man, all he's doing is, you know, internet marketing. He's just blasting the internet with interwebs with ads. No. And we're not just offering just one service. Some guys just do, you know, they're just do dent repairs or they just, you know, paint or whatever. I mean, no, we offer multiple things. That means we're catching more fish with a wider net. You know, I can cast that net out into the ocean. And if I get, you know, small, medium, large fish, I mean, they all might work, you know, versus if I just offer one service. Now, if I didn't have the demands set forth in front of me where I had profit and money that needed to be you know, net it out for family purposes or retirement or whatever, yeah, I would make a smaller net for sure. I'd probably have a little guppy net, you know, and work part time and just smell the roses or walk amongst the trees, kind of like we're doing today. But that ain't the case right now, Bob. So that's kind of the strategy. So multi-channel, offline, online. And I'll give you guys another little insight. Reputation drives business. Oh my gosh. And we're going to talk about pricing and trying to not be a commodity. Cause I think I saw one of my former students doing an advertisement for money off for his services. And I don't think that's a good move, but it's what a lot of people do. It's kind of the easy go-to, low hanging fruit, you know, but I don't recommend it for so many reasons. And it's not like I'm saying I don't recommend somebody makes more money, but what people realize once they test that, they generally won't get a lot more business. It's the reason in most businesses why people don't choose your business is not because of the price. If you're priced within market, it's another reason. Either you're out of their budget completely and the service is out of their budget, maybe you didn't connect with them, or timing, right? There's a lot of different reasons. And trust me, this is not me guessing. This is me surveying customers. Hey, you were in here a month ago. I picked up the phone and I called. If you want to learn, talk to your customers, current and otherwise, ones that just came in or ones that you had over the phone, follow up, find out why they didn't use you, why they didn't book. And you'll be surprised. In our mind, I mean, I used to think really negative. I used to think, man, all my competition is getting all my former clients. No, it was like 10%, maybe even 5%. The majority of the people didn't come back in. It was more money than they thought, or they didn't have the budget. And you can't blame them. I mean, this, as much as we'll talk about people thinking this is a commodity, it really isn't. Because people have no idea what it costs, for example, to repipe a house, or they have no idea what it costs to fix a large dent on a fender. They don't understand the process, first of all, which is an opportunity to educate, right? So therefore thinking that the word dents pop out, it's cheap. The word pop is a connotation for something simple. So simple means cheap. Once you educate them and say it's not simple, it takes expertise and it's a craftsmanship level skill. Well, that's going to cost me more money then, isn't it? Of course it is. And it's not something that every Tom, Dick, and Harry can do. I had a guy come the other day. He had hail damage on his Jeep, white Jeep. He bought it and he's like, you know, how much take out this hail? I go, you're probably looking between, rough idea, $7,000 to $9,000. Oh, shoot, I had no idea it was that much. He's like, well, I might just buy one of those glue things that I saw on Amazon. And I said, I honestly don't recommend it. He's like, I know, but I just want to kind of make them look a little better. Okay, well, apparently you think you know what you're talking about. I'm not going to try to talk you out of it. If you were going to ask me questions like blah, 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 there was no opportunity to educate. The guy was already set on it. Let him ruin a couple of dents on his white Jeep and he'll be down the road. But the idea is it's educating and it's not being commodity, you know. And if you have a reputation, which I was kind of pushing at, you will get more money because people will want to be around you and want to utilize you for whatever you're selling. You could be a hairstylist like my wife who creates reputations with her clients, or my son Adrian. Or you could, you know, be a house painter and you come out and you charm the socks off of people. People will write great things about you if you take the time. And it's not what you say about you and your ads say about you. It's what other people say. That's what matters the most. Okay, so let's circle back. Reputation, you know, reviews or videos or whatever, people talking about you. And then you need to know how to amplify it. Okay, it's the same idea if you can picture an acoustic guitar and you play it. Somebody in the room might hear it, okay? Now you plug in a Marshall Plexi and you pump that thing to 10. Now you're Woodstock and you've got the whole town hearing you jam, you know, Jimi Hendrix, right? That's the same idea. You need to amplify what people say about you. But of course, it's not going to be through an amplifier. It's going to be the process of amplification. And I'm not going to get into that deep, but that's where you need to start your mind thinking about that. How can I get this out to more people that will see this? And then when they come in, they're like, oh, this is Jim. This is the guy that I read about and everybody's talking about online. This is a guy I want to get to know and maybe I could use him. You know, and you already are like an online rock star. You know, you're like a reality star, you know, a dent removal or service, you know, business reality star, because they've already got to know you through the lens of other people who've used you. And at the end of the day, like I've always preached, guys, on my service marketing pulpit here, that it's about feels. it really isn't about the service. It's not about the result per se. All it is about how people feel. If you could do an absolute shit job, but people felt great about it, and they would tell other people about it, and other people were happy, but you thought it was shit, yeah, ultimately it matters what you think, but not as much as what it matters what the customer thinks, right, at all, because we're not serving us, we're serving our customer. So, the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good of being freaking massively busy. The good is money, of course, duh, right? And we can be picky, we can be borderline arrogant, but be polite, and arrogance isn't something I recommend. You wanna be humble, but you can be so picky that you can disqualify customers that aren't right in your lane. You know, I don't want touch-up customers. I don't want small dent customers. I don't want customers that have a bad attitude or I don't feel I can add value to. And that happens a lot. I turn people away all the time. You know what? I can't help you with that. What I'm offering to do is not going to be of value. I had a customer, I think I talked about it last week. He was a Tesla scratch and a golf ball size dent. Dent came out great. Scratch couldn't come out. I said, you know what? I think I had you down for $375. I'm going to charge you the magic number of zero. Why? And he'd already paid. I went back out of the parking lot. I said, I'm going to refund you. My associate did. And I said, because I don't think I gave you any value. You know, yes, the dent's gone, but there's still a scratch there and it still draws your eye to it. And I go, I don't recommend you paint this car either. You know, some cars I would, this car's too special. And he's like, yeah, I agree. He's like, well, I certainly am going to refer you any other customer I come across or if I need you in the future. And I already knew that. He didn't need to say that because I knew he was listening to me and he was cognizant of the value I was giving him. But I was, you know, postponing for a reward for myself later on down the road, which there's a lot of value in delaying of gratitude, which once again, we could get into that, but we won't. So the good, being picky and making great money. Yeah, great marketing does that. Bad, not all customers are sweet and some are cheap as F, right? That's the bad. When you do marketing, a lot of people are coming through the door, it's that wide net in the ocean. You're gonna catch some guppies, you're gonna catch some barracudas, you're gonna catch some sharks that aren't gonna be the kind of customers you want. So that's it can be kind of a time waste, you know, and it kind of sucks, but it's just, you're always refining your marketing to try to net the right kind of fish. And then what's the ugly? Specifically, we had a guy leave us a 4-star review, which it might have well been a 1 in my opinion. And we have no idea who this guy was. Joe Cruz, I have no idea who you are. You're not on our books. You didn't come in for service. It's just some dude. Maybe he came in for an estimate and he didn't have a name. And he no comments either, just 4 stars. All right, thanks. People don't understand how that, we're interested in 5 or nothing. If I knew who Mr. Cruz was, if he used our service, I'd offer to give him his money back. I'd offer to make amends by doing something extra special or remedying whatever was the gap between the 4 and the 5, of course, right? But we couldn't find him. Cannot find him. I don't even know if he's a customer. So it kind of sucked. What else is part of the ugly when you have too many customers? Some people get pissed. We tell them we're 2 to 3 weeks out. They get frustrated. It was like, well, all right, I'll book, but just please let me know if you got anything that comes up before then. And the other problem is when you book 2 to 3 weeks out, half the time people forget. And we are not as sharp as you might expect us to be. So we're not using the you know, dentist or hairstylist reminder software to letting people know they have an appointment coming up. And I'd say probably 10% of the people forget or flake. So it's not as efficient as machine if you were booking within a week. But then again, you're not gonna make as much money because you're gonna have gaps. It cycles up and down. If you can book out 2 to 3 weeks, I'd say 2 is probably the sweet spot, at least in our industry. You will make money and less people will flake and you've got like a semi-perpetual money machine. You know. And then the last thing about being ugly when you've got too much business, our techs get stressed. They just do. It's a workload because people are pressing them to get their stuff done. They'll drop off their car without an appointment. You know, all kinds of things happen. You know, parts, where's these parts to get this stuff done? It's just more stressful when you have more customers. And that's probably part of my fault for not creating a culture and an environment to where we need to be less stressed about it. And just, I don't want to say que sera, but you just need to just be level, even keeled, level headed, you know, and just keep perspective. We're working on cars. We're not doing heart transplants. You know, at the end of the day, things will get done. And if they don't, it's not the end of the world. You know, if something doesn't go right, it doesn't go right. You know, and that's working with people. It's a wild card. You know, we have a window tint company that we're good friends with that refers us a lot of business. And we share stories from the road that, you know, just like them, they get nice people to come in. It's sweet and sour. And then sometimes it's sour. And if they have a customer that comes in, it's sour. And they were also asking about, you know, dent removal or paint or PPF or whatever, that person won't refer those customers over to us. So they, you know, I really don't know of anybody because they don't want to waste our time with a bad seed. So that's the thing. I mean, when you have more marketing, you're going to get more people, good, bad, and otherwise. All right. So moving on. Step two in this beautiful Baton Rouge, April 5th episode. Pricing is value. And I don't mean cheap price is value. I didn't say that, did I? I said pricing by design is value. And how you price dictates the quality of your service in a large manner, in a large percentage. And I'll explain. Okay, a couple of different examples. We'll talk cars, we'll talk food, and we'll just talk generic market. Let's talk about a Ferrari, okay? Pick a Ferrari, doesn't matter. Let's say that you could get a 308 Ferrari for 10 grand, an older used Ferrari, if you don't know what a 308 is. Okay, 10 grand. And let's say there was endless quantities of that car. You already know this is going, right? Pretty soon, everybody's got a Ferrari, and there's nothing special about it. What's special about Ferraris and other luxury goods is the limited quantity. Sometimes, well, Italian sometimes can be limited quality. But yeah, if everybody had a Ferrari in a month, think about it, everybody on your neighborhood or 80% of them have Ferraris. Pretty soon, it's like you're pulling up to, you know, the local choke and puke and burger stand. You're at Sonic. And there's like 8 Ferraris down the road. And you're like, okay, yeah, it sounds good. It car drives kind of fast, but there's nothing special about it anymore, right? It's not exclusive. It's not unique. That's what makes Ferrari so special is it's unique and it's exclusive. You take away the exclusivity and the uniqueness, the value goes away. And because it was low price, it was available to everyone. So there is something to learn about that. If your pricing makes you somewhat exclusive and you can be unique, there it is. So price accordingly, my friends. If you're the cheapest guy or you think you need to lower your price because you're going to get more and or better clients, think again. Try it. Test it. Don't take my word for it. I've done it, but you know, maybe you'll get a couple extra clients. But I use the example, if you were going to do a Groupon, if I don't even if Groupon's even still out there, but it's a coupon service where you sign up and people will use your service because they're basically buying in a pool. Let's say you're going to have a $50 dent repair coupon, right? And you get, I don't know, 10, 20, 30 people sign up, okay? What kind of jobs are you going to get? Okay, they're going to be crap. What kind of clients are you going to get? They're probably going to not be the kind of right kind of clients. And are they going to be repeat clients? Probably not. Probably not at all. So yeah, you're going to make a little bit of money in the short term. And if you're starving, I never hate on any man that needs to feed his family. You need to catch some fish, go catch some fish, brother. But in the long term, that's not the solution. Matter of fact, you're basically hedging against a downturn in your business. Why go that direction? Okay? I never said marketing was easy, did I? In my opinion, it's actually tough. But that means opportunity, because if it's tough for you and me, it's tough for everybody. And if you educate yourself and you put the time in, that means massive opportunity for yourself. And I've been at this, I'm Grandpa Brian. I've been doing this shit for a long time. And it's not like I'm a smart dude. I'm not by a long shot. But I've been working hard. I've been consistent. And the person who works hard and long and is consistent will generally have some form of success. Okay? Side note, you got a crayon or something you can write on? I discovered this AI marketing assistant, AI, okay? It's called Gaxu, G-A-X-U. I think there's a free trial. Any way you could get free marketing advice or test some of your ideas strategically or just run up the flagpole is a good thing. I recommend you check it out. Any way I could get free marketing advice and strategic or otherwise, like we talked about using AI, like ChatGPT or Bard or whatever, all those are what's it going to hurt? You know, just you might get some ideas that you haven't. I mean, I've gotten ideas. I've podcasted about AI helping your business. So check out Gaxu or Gaxu. All right, so let's say this, going back to pricing. If you price up market, yes, the cheap are gonna fall off. They just, you'll either out budget them or they're not gonna see the value and you may not even have an opportunity to educate. Okay, the uneducated will also drop. On that note, you will need to take the time and the effort to educate people. Now, let's say you're texting somebody an estimate. Does that give you the opportunity to educate them? Very little, very little. I've seen several dent guys in our industry that have stopped doing phone or text estimates, which I commend. And we are testing right now, we're about a month in. I'm probably losing 15, 20% of my people that reach out that aren't repeat customers. They want just a quick estimate. Had a couple today, huge Mercedes dent. And the guy's like, just give me price. I'm like, I can't, I need to see it. Well, just give me a ballpark idea. I go ahead and measure it. I'm gonna text you our price chart. It'll give you a rough idea. And he did. And I think he's still gonna bring his car in. So who knows? Maybe the guy actually had a budget that he could get it taken care of, okay? You need to educate people. And those that care about the educational process and the result will use you, or at least you have a shot at using you. When will this not work? Let's take the dark road, right? Okay. If you're in a demographic that is flooded with talented service people in your industry and they charge crumbs, okay, then the service is perceived as a commodity and you'll have one heck of a time separating yourself, won't you? I never want to work or sell in a commoditized service, okay? I'll give you some examples. Gas, okay? We all know, for the most part, gas is gas. There's different octanes, and some have additives, and that's their attempt, you know, Tecraline or whatever the hell. They're trying to distance themselves, decommodify themselves, right? Which I'm gonna tell you guys, we'll go through a couple options where you can do this. It's important, okay? But if you, hopefully you're not in that demographic. If you are, I strongly recommend you move out of it because that is going to be a challenge. Unless there's just such a huge demographic, like you're in a 5 million, you know, population city, like greater LA or Chicago or something, you know, Miami, think big, big city, Orlando or something, New York, you know, I mean, it's going to be tough. You're going to have to become a really good marketer and you're going to have to become excellent, razor sharp targeter to get to the people who will spend extra money on your service and will view it as not a commodity. Okay, what's another one? Cell services, telecommunications. If you're going to go out and sign up for a cell service, if your phone connects, and I don't care if you're using Sprint, T-Mobile, Grasshopper, Cricket, whatever the hell, that's all that matters. That's all that matters, you know, if as long as you're getting connections. So at that point, it is a commodity, isn't it? So you're going to seek the lowest price because you view all those services to be roughly the same, if they are. And they've tried to decommodify themselves. Well, we have more coverage and blah, blah, blah. At the end of the day, they all use the same cell towers. Everybody freaking leases to each other. There's hardly any difference, okay? Maybe there's different phones they might offer. They're always trying to decommodify themselves, and that's what we need to do in our service businesses. And here's some strategy on how to do that. Let's talk about that, specifically with either Autobody, Dent Mobile, or a similar service business. Number one, relationships. Okay, if you can connect with your customer and create a budding relationship, especially on the second time around, you've got them. You treat them right, you give them good service, they're coming back. Most, I'd say 90%. Every now and then I'll have somebody that went somewhere else. We just had a gentleman, we fixed his black Tesla. He's kind of on the cheap side. And he went somewhere, actually he let a gypsy hit him up in a parking lot after we gave him a good estimate to repair his bumper. And this guy absolutely ruined his bumper and had tape all over it. Said, don't pull the tape off until tomorrow, blah, blah, blah. Guess what happened when he pulled the tape off? Yeah, surprise. So relationships, create a relationship with your clients. That's one of the best things you could do because what, we're human beings. Features, if you have features that you can push that other people will not be able to provide, or as well, or at the same level, you have an advantage. And that's distancing yourself from being generic and everybody being the same, okay? Brand, if you're the brand in your area, okay, people know your name, you've marketed your 2 miles so well that everybody knows, oh, this is the guy. That's hard to compete with, it really is. And that doesn't go in just an automotive or that's all kinds. I mean, look at the soda wars, pop wars, you know, Pepsi, Coke, and blah, blah, blah. It'd be hard to come out with another soda and compete because people already, they trust, know, and like, you know, Coke and Pepsi. So, all right, another one is quality. Some people just flat out can't or don't care about quality. And if your customer cares, which not everybody does, by the way, but if your customer cares and you can echo that and educate that, then you have a leg up and it's less of a commodity. What about customer service? Yeah, customer service matters. How you deal with the customer. That kind of goes back to a relationship, doesn't it? How you communicate with them, the services you provide, how you provide those services. I'll give you an example. One of our huge, huge advantages. If I want an estimate from a Tesla body shop or Caliber Collision, I can go in with or without an appointment, but it will probably take them about 30 to 60 minutes to see me. Literally, it will. Tesla doesn't even want to see customer pay anymore. So if I have insurance, you don't even need to go in. But if you want to have your car fixed, 30 to 60 minutes, and it usually takes 24 to 48 hours to get the estimate. That is not good customer service, especially in 2024. We will put a written estimate in a customer's hands in under 5 minutes. Parts excluded, of course, if I have to check on parts. Okay, just hit, I'll call them back or whatever. So, customer service plays, and it plays well. Okay, ease. Now, this is where a mobile guy, if you're in the dental business, ease, I mean, it's easier for the customer to have somebody come to them than to have us, you know, bring them to us, right? So, that's not an advantage for a brick and mortar. So that's obviously something that would lend themselves towards a mobile guy. He could say, look, you could take your car to a shop, but I'll come to you. People do appreciate that ease. It's not something that we want to do because at the end of the day, I want to service the customer, but I also want to make things good for myself and serviceable and have a better quality of life. That's why we don't do mobile. And the quality of the repairs, quite honestly, across the board aren't as good. They just aren't. And anybody who's truly honest will admit that. So, bundling is another one. You offer a service within the other service. Okay, we do that all the time. We bundle all the time, and it works. It does. You're adding value. Okay, especially if it's, I always tell customers, if it's something that's easy for me to do and I can add that value for you, I of course will. If it's a part I've got to buy, guess what? Not something I can throw in. You know, because I don't make parts, I have to buy them. But it doesn't mean maybe I can offer the service to put that part on for free because I'm doing another service. Okay. Last thing I'll send at you guys because we're getting ready to wrap it up. Coming up on 30 minutes here in the bayou. I sense a gator coming close. Maybe a python or anaconda or something. Is guarantees. Okay. I have customers in my service area that will not guarantee their work, which blows me away. And I'm so thankful a couple of these guys don't. It's because of their skill set. You know, it is a highly skilled industry that we're in, so they won't guarantee it. I think that's the most ludicrous thing ever. Even if you're going to lose out on the guarantee, so what? I would get people need to have trust, and you need to build a simple relationship. That's the cornerstone of business, service business, people, right? We deal with people, not robots, not cars, you know, or plumbing or whatever. You're dealing with people. So the better you know how to work with people and communicate with people clearly and concisely and show that you're an advocate for them and the benefits and advantages that you will provide for them over everybody else, you're going to win. And guarantees got to be in that mix. Got to be. And it can be a crazy guarantee. You know, I will give you 2x your money back if you're not happy. Yeah, why not? Why not? Do you trust the kind of service that you're going to do? Of course you do. I will give you your money back if you're not happy. Okay, or if you're happy, bring your next job in and it'll be 50% off, or I'll take a small dent out of the same vehicle or a family vehicle, same or lesser value for free. I mean, just examples, you know, these are guarantees, or that's kind of more like bundling, but you get my point, right? So you don't need to be a commodity. You're not selling bottled water. You're not selling gasoline. You're not selling, cell services. You know, what we do in our specific industry and a lot of service industries, I don't care if it's auto buy, I don't care if it's a plumber, there is a difference. There are hacks out there in all walks of life. And there are people who take great pride and work hard. And their reviews and what people say about them echo that. So amplify, like I said earlier in this pod, amplify what people say about you, especially hopefully it's good, right? And then utilize that in your marketing, and you will become just like us, if not even better. And you'll have so many people, overflowing out your ears that you're gonna be like, you'll probably be cussing me out, saying, all kinds of curse words because Brian got you too many people at your door. But that's a better problem to have than to be sitting there and trying to lower prices or become the discounter. That's not the path to righteousness, my brethren. Anyway, I'm stepping down from my pulpit. Thank you for coming to the Sunday service. Don't forget to tithe. And I appreciate you guys. Have a fantastic weekend. We will, like I said, this podcast is coming out early, so there won't be another episode, but we'll have one next weekend, hopefully. I think we're gonna be in Tennessee next weekend, right? Definitely, not possibly. Yeah, we will be, and God willing, we'll be in Tennessee next weekend where LSU takes on Tennessee. And it'll be a contested baseball. I'm hoping it's contested. So anyway, love you guys. Appreciate you. Appreciate the time. Anything I can help out, 949-302-3464. You can catch us on the gram at DentcoPDR. Thanks so much. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye for now.